place. Therefore, your trust in God, and do the right. Another slight pause was noticed, and then he continued, every word said being clearly delivered without the least hesitation with regard to what was said about certain things being veiled off on this side. You might have a gentle spirit on this side of life. I am speaking to you all in general, someone you loved very much, and who had always led a very sheltered life. Well, you would not like her progress here to be barred by any mistakes you made. Such as these do not know details of any wrongdoings or sorrow. They, however, sense immediately when anything goes wrong with you, and will help you all they can with their thoughts of love and their prayers, for we remember here those we love, just as you do. We know instinctively when you are in a tight corner, even if we do not know details, and then you are influenced by our prayers for you. A lady present was once asked by a friend on the other side to convey his affection to his wife on earth. Addressing the lady by her pet name, he said, "Tell Annie I love her still. My passing has not broken the link between us. Oh, my dear, oh, it is wonderful. It is James speaking. It is wonderful that we can come in here, and that I have managed. I was just afraid that I could not be able to make myself heard, and I have stood beside you for that purpose. I am well, and oh, so happy, though, of course, I have my cravings for some I have left behind. You know what I mean, but I am working all I can to let those I have left have peace and happiness. It is so difficult, because of the war." An aunt of a lady present once came back and was delighted that she was able to touch her niece. "It is a nice feeling to know that I can touch you and that you know I am here. Think of me sometimes, and I will do the best I can for you, and I will look after the boys." She stated correctly that she had died a year and a few days before her niece was born. Then followed a talk between them about two relations still on earth. The niece then felt a hand touching her, the aunt's concluding words being, "This is just the touch of a vanished hand, a hand you never knew in earth life touches you now." The same sitter on a previous occasion was told this by her husband's grandfather. Replying to a remark she made, he continued, "Yes, and I am so glad to have got this first word with you. I shall come again, God willing. Peace be with you all, and all those who have not got the great privilege of the knowledge you have. Let the whispering words of truth penetrate their minds, and say, we are not dead, we are alive. Adieu." On another occasion, the mother of a lady present, who had passed on when her daughter was a small child, said to her daughter, "Mother never forgets. I watched you while you grew up, studied your little ways. I am your mother. I have opened my arms and I hold you. God bless you, darling. What I can do for you, I will. All will be done for you to the very utmost. I was present at one or two tragic episodes in your life and I held on to you, especially at one time when you were very low down." When a sitter once remarked how wonderful it was, and how happy the sitters should be to have their friends from the other world coming to speak to them, someone from that world spoke these words, "When we love someone, then nothing is a trouble, nothing is too much and no work too tedious to bring joy to those we love. This, however, is not tedious work, but a great joy to us, getting these little messages through to you." How close the thought link is between the people of the two worlds was once emphasized during a talk between a gentleman present and a friend on the other side. "There is one thing I can tell you, if you think fondly of someone you loved in the earth life who has gone from you, thought carries here and we get it immediately." Then the Aetherian made an interesting remark in reply to a question, "Forgetting things you have been told, or taught, is purely a physical thing. You do not forget anything you are taught on the spirit side of life. That love binds the people of the two worlds together is emphasized by the remark made to us all by the grandfather in Aetheria of a lady present. I would like just to say to you all, you are very dear to me and dear to others in the spirit side of life, because you help us, when we come to the borderline, to get into touch with those whom we love. Without your help that wee, small, door would remain secret, shut, and unopened. You ken what I mean. It is the blending of the thoughts, the sympathy received, that lifts the latch and enables us to get through to you and let you know that we still live, still love you. God bless you." On another occasion when this subject was mentioned, we were told to remember that love is something which is branded on the heart of humanity and can never be eradicated. It lives through all eternity, it never dies. The love which is in the heart for each other grows brighter all the time. This theme was touched on at another seance when a lady present was speaking to her mother in Etheria. "Mother," she said, "will you give my love, dear, to the one who tried to take your place?" Her mother replied, "I will do so. It is easy to pass on love. There is no thought of jealousy now. It is only love we can give. We could not convey anything other than love. There could be no message conveyed to anyone on this side if it was not a message of love. God bless you." Mr. Edward Clodd, who exposed the superstition in organized Orthodox religion, wrote in 1917 that out of the enormous mass of communications purporting to come from discarnate spirits, not an ennobling or high-toned message can be extracted. All is nauseating, frivolous, mischievous, spurious drivel. He was an agnostic, being one of the leaders of materialistic thought in the early part of the 20th century, and I do not doubt that this is what he sincerely believed, because he was ignorant of the truth. This hatred and ignorance of everything to do with spiritualism was shared by the vast majority of his contemporaries, and still is, but to a lesser degree, to this day. Nevertheless, a considerable amount of literature on the beliefs of spiritualists was available in his day, to anyone who cared to study it, and it has grown enormously since then. Someday the barrier of prejudice and ignorance will be swept away, and the monotonous clamor of abuse which spiritualism has received over the past 100 years from Christians and materialists alike will cease. If everyone possessed psychic gifts, or if everyone had one psychic experience, or more than one, the hard crust of materialism and antagonism would dissolve. The spiritualist outlook on life, death, and the afterlife would take their place. A new, broader, and more complete conception of the meaning of existence would follow, and much present-day sorrow, unhappiness, and frustration would cease. In this world, as in the next, there are planes of thought, and those less mentally developed cannot grasp what those with greater knowledge are able to accept. Everything in life is a question of mental development. There have been in the past the more enlightened who have risen mentally above their fellow men and women, and pierced to a greater or lesser extent the veil which divides the visible from the invisible world. Some have been born with this greater insight, some have been fortunate to have had experiences denied to others, and some people have learned from what the few have had to tell them. However, the enlightenment of the masses will only come as mediumship and learning increase. But, with comparatively few mediums in our midst, progress in the knowledge of what is true can only come slowly. Meanwhile, let those who read this book try to grasp the wonder of it all, and realize how this knowledge revolutionizes much of what we were taught to believe to be true. The revolution in thought it brings about is as tremendous as was the complete change, the reversal of outlook, which took place in the 6th and 17th centuries of our era when, in 1543, Copernicus, and then Galileo about 100 years later, with the aid of the newly discovered telescope, revealed the heavens to be something vastly different from what they appeared to be by our ordinary vision. It took many years even for the intelligent in those days to have an idea of the meaning of it all, and even now our mysterious universe is not within the grasp of human intelligence. The medium which caused this revolution in thought was the telescope, and the medium which is causing the change in our religious outlook is the human being, endowed by nature with a body capable of supplying invisible beings with what they need, to enable them to communicate with us and tell us who they are, and how and where they live. What a revelation it is! But let me give you the words of an Etherian, who once entered into a conversation we were having with a friend on the other side who had remarked about Mr. Sloane having opened a door for them to get through to us. This is what he said: "It is a great gift, Mr. Cameron, to be able to open the door, and enable the friends who are around you to exchange thoughts and opinions which may be beneficial to you and to your further progress in life. Whenever you put out a thought, we try to help you in every way we can. You are all friends whom I have met here from time to time, and I have met a goodly number of people of different outlooks on life, but they are all very willing to give an open ear to anything we may say to them, and what we tell seems to be acceptable. We can assure you it is the truth. We are only telling you of our own experiences, which we have had since coming to spirit life, and which may help you when the time comes for you to make the crossing to this side of life. That is one thing that makes me very happy, the thought that those on earth life are still able to come and talk to us, and enable us to help you all in the difficult way of life, to help to carry the burden which is near to your hearts and which you may not care to tell to anyone. This opening up of communication between the two worlds is as much an interest and a delight to them as it is to us on earth. A lady present on one occasion was told this by her father in the other world. It is the thought of that great truth, and the knowledge that you have a perfect understanding of the fact that we still live and love, that helps us to wait with patience for those we love, to join us on this side. We are simply waiting for the day, not longing for it, because to long for the time might shorten the earth life of those we love and long for, but waiting God's good time until the day dawns and the shadows flee away, and we all meet and clasp hands again. When labor is finished, Jordan passed, and life on earth is ended, there is summer and sunshine and a home of rest at last. Such words must be a comfort and encouragement to many, but only the few who attend seances with good mediums can have the satisfaction a speaker from Etheria believed was possessed by everyone. He was a Scottish Highlander on earth, and in some of their homes in the Highlands the so-called dead and living mingle in a way little realized by the more materialistic lowlanders. The Celtic Highlanders, in remote places, are often highly developed psychically, and this is what he said: "It is not my will that you should not understand it, or not my desire that I should cause you annoyance. I just want to let you know, as I am positive that all of you on earth know already, that those of your loved ones who have gone before are often very near you, and, although you cannot see them, you sense the feeling of their presence, the touch of the hand, the sound of the voice, the loving care of the mother, and the kind thought of the father. God bless you, friends." The touch of the vanished hand is often felt by sitters, as was the case when on one occasion a lady present told us she was being touched on her hands and face. Then we heard, "It is mother touching you, and how are you keeping, my dear? I hope you did not hurt yourself much." She was recovering from a bad fall. "Do you not see father standing beside you? He is standing just behind you, and I am standing at your left side. I just wish I could throw my arms around you and embrace you properly. It seems a long time now, not so very long, you know, but it seems a long time to me. I am not so very long over, but still I am longing to see my daughter." On one occasion when the father in Etheria of a lady present was recognized by his daughter, his pleasure was obvious. "Thank you for recognizing me, my beloved daughter. Tell Jim I sent him my love, and the whole lot of them. I do not like to disturb them, you know, in their thoughts. It is the truth, and it is a truth that I did not understand very much about myself, and which came as a heavenly revelation to me, when I found that I could come back and speak to you again. I shall never, never leave you until the shadows flee away and the sun rises, and we meet again in the more perfect life and the more perfect world." Another from Etheria, who spoke in a strong manly voice, once expressed similar sentiments and seemed pleased that the sitters heard what he had to say. "I do not feel that I am adequately adapted to speak to you, ladies and gentlemen, in a way that you ought to be spoken to. It has been a joy and a great upliftment to me today that I have been a recipient of the joys and pleasures which you have received in this little meeting tonight. I have also been uplifted, and my soul has been refreshed and strengthened in the labor of the work which lies before me, by being in your presence today. As one who has traversed the earth plane long before your time and who has been traversing the planes and spaces for many years, as you count time, I have been in touch time and again with your surroundings, but I have never been able to articulate or speak to you until today. Today I feel uplifted and have joy in the thought that I have got a contact, and I pray that the great spirit of love will allow me to keep in touch with you, to do you some little good from time to time. God bless you all." In the pause that followed we asked him to give us his name, and this is what he said: "I would not be known to any of you. I am too ancient. By that I mean, it is long as time is counted on the earth plane, since I walked there. I did not speak your language, and I did not know your country. I know your language now because I have been deputed to work in your surroundings, and recently have been directed to this gathering to look after you. Do your best to live your earth life as it was intended you should, and a wonderful joy awaits you. There is nothing in God's universe that is not used. He is too wise to have anything that is not necessary. There is a use for everything and a purpose for everyone that comes to earth life. I will keep in touch with you, and I will come whenever I see that I can be of any service to you and do a little to help. It is always so pleasant and so pleasing for me to give it to you. Adieu. This desire to help us was also voiced by another male Aetherian in these words: I should be pleased to help you at any time, any one of you, and, if I cannot answer the questions, I can take them to someone who can illustrate and answer them for you, as far as it is in accordance with the divine will. I am not related to any of you in any earth connection, but you are my brothers and sisters, and I am out to help you in any way I can. I do not perhaps know much, but I have gleaned a little knowledge of the theme of the everlasting progress of the human soul towards the eternal. You understand what I mean. At another seance, a gentleman present remarked that to him the knowledge of human destiny was the greatest interest in life. To hear this reply, I understand what you mean, brother. You just feel when here that you are near those you have loved very much in earth life. You feel you can practically be at one with them. Then followed a long, intimate talk between him and his wife in Aetheria, which ended with these parting words: It is a beautiful thought to know that death does not divide us. Just think of the time, dear, when all your efforts and your worries cease, and I and all your friends here welcome you in God's beautiful garden of peace. Mrs. Sloane, the wife of the medium, passed on in 1940. When on earth she was a regular sitter at these seances, and after her passing she soon came back to become a frequent communicator. She was a woman of a sweet and lovable nature, and this can be realized from the things she said from her new home in Aetheria. Mr. Sloane was never paid for the sittings he gave, and considered his part in them as a duty to his friends, but, as he grew older and more feeble, they were certainly attacks on his failing strength. I am sure he would have ceased giving them in his old age but for one thing: Mrs. Sloane, or Mammy as she was called by some, invariably came back to talk to him and her friends on earth. This fact made life worth living for him. And here are some extracts of what she said on one occasion. First of all, she sang a favorite hymn, every word distinct, and led the sitters in the circle, who had only a hazy idea of the words. Then she said, "This is Mammy speaking to you. How beautiful it is just to be in the little circle once again. I can still enjoy it as I did in the days gone by when I met you at these little meetings from time to time. God bless you, Mrs. Bowes, and those you love. May God support them in the strenuous work and strenuous ways of life just now, and O Father, if it be thy will, bring this fighting to an end and bring the loved ones home again. Bring harmony and peace once more to this troubled world. This is Mammy's prayer to the great Father God. May He bless your boys, Mrs. Bowes, and may He keep them safe, and may peace and prosperity and the love of God be with you at all times. You were always such a good friend of Daddy and mine. And God bless you, Chrissy, my dear. You were always so kind and good to me, and to my dear old man. I wish I could do something to repay you for all your goodness. I thank you one and all for coming here, and standing by my dear old man. He is not alone. I tell him often when I am talking to him that he will never be alone while Nana, Mrs. Sloane's name, is with him. I think, Mr. Cameron, that most of us have one or two that are all the world to us. I am afraid I am a wee bit general in my way of thinking, because there were many in the earth life that I loved very fondly, and they are just like all the world to me. It is such a delight to me to be able to come near to them again, and, my dear, dear old man, I am never far away from you. God bless you, Chrissy. God bless you, Miss Deary, and God bless you, my dear old man." That evening she had much more to say, and her remarks will be found in their appropriate places. Here in this chapter we are considering what our friends on the other side had to say regarding their contact with us. A lady school teacher, who was sometimes one of the sitters, once received the following message from her mother: "Isabel, Mama is speaking. You know all my friends. Remember me to them all, Isabel, and all my love to you, darling." A Scottish minister, whose church a lady present attended before his death, spoke at these seances from time to time. He never referred to the creeds and doctrines which were the subject of his sermons on earth. Always he dwelt on the importance of righteousness. On this occasion he ended a long discourse with these words many times: "Although you do not see the friends, they are helping you from day to day as you travel on, and blessing and guiding you on your way, although you do not know it." Some of the sitters had sons or relations abroad during one period of the Second World War, and one evening in the course of conversation between the two worlds this is what was said: "Your friends are all thinking of you. They bear you up, and those of you who have dear ones far away, they are looking after them for you, and they will care for you in every stage of life. It is particularly those who are distant from their home surroundings that I am referring to. There is an ever-watchful eye, in keeping with your prayerful thoughts that crosses space, conveying a loving word, a thought expression, which brings back the sense of home, and comforts them in their lonely times. God bless you." A Red Indian on the other side, who was well known to most of the sitters present, once remarked: "Memory is a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing, and it is so nice if you have stored up beautiful thoughts and kind thoughts that you can dwell on afterwards. I have not been here at your meetings for a little time. I am still interested in you. I know all of you here, and many more who are not here now, but have passed into other scenes, and are watching and guiding your footsteps with loving eyes until you meet again." This remark led to a general conversation between the two worlds, other Aetherians taking part. One was the son of a lady present, and he remarked how nice it was to hold his mother's warm hand. Then he said that his grandfather would speak, and this is what he said: "It is more wonderful perhaps to us to get the touch of your warm hand, and feel in the actual presence of those we love so well." Another homely touch came later in the same seance when a relation in Aetheria of a lady present replied to a question she asked him. It was, "Had you a painful death, Icky?" "No, I am so well now and so happy. Just you think of me as the happy, happy boy that you knew long ago. I will not miss an opportunity of coming to speak to you again. I tried hard to get through. I have to thank Bob for showing me the way. Isaac." "I never liked the name Isaac. I liked Icky better. You had a nice way of saying it that somehow took the rough edge off it." Once a regular communicator from the other side, the son of a gentleman present, spoke to a lady in these words: "Good evening, Mrs. Richardson. I have met you before, but not very often. You have a boy on the spirit side, I know, for I saw him standing beside you, although he was not speaking tonight. He went over in a very youthful state, I think." And then followed a dramatic event, when out of the silence came the cheery voice of this young man, who said to his mother: "Oh, mother, I am a big strapping fellow now. Can you hear me, mother? It is just Roy Richardson." On one occasion the grandfather in Aetheria of a lady present had just spoken to her, when a new voice spoke: "This is what we heard. I have come down near your plane. It is not your grandfather speaking now. I just wish to say it is such a delight for all these friends of yours of far off times when they get into contact with you. I am one of the workers, one of the demonstrators, just doing what I can to hold the doors open and show them the way. Sometimes your friends may be speaking to you and you do not hear them. We do all we can to help by connecting the vibrations." Once there spoke the voice of one who on earth must have had the psychic gift, though he seemed not to realize how rare it is amongst the people of earth. "It was in the stillness of the evening, when I was on your earth plane, I used to get into some secluded spot in the twilight, delighting in the evening breeze, and listening to the vibrations of those whom I knew were near me somewhere, although I was not physically conscious of their presence. I had the intuition that higher beings than myself were present, and that my immortal soul was being drawn higher towards heaven, and messages of love, though not in an audible sense, were poured into my heart. That attribute is yours, each and every one of you, so set apart a little time to commune with those you love, and who love you still, although just a little way ahead of you in the road of life. We are all going the same way home. God bless you." The conversation once turned to the difficulty most people had in believing in communication with the departed, when a strong man's voice broke in and said, "When I was in earth life, I could not say I believed it, but I had the consciousness, ladies and gentlemen, in my soul that there were people around me, talking to me. I seemed to sense their presence and even to know what they looked like, and, when I came to this side of life, I knew them quite well when they came and spoke to me, and they were not relations at all, but they were friends. A friend is a friend who will always remain a friend if he is a true friend." Well, there are a lot of friends in that sentence. One of the ladies present once said she regretted not being able to remember her dreams. Then we heard the name of an Aetherian, who was well known to most of the sitters, and this is what he said to a lady present whom he addressed by name, "I think I might explain a little bit about it. You are often away in your sleep state, and, returning, you know you have met many people on the other side. But you cannot hold these memories or put them in right order. That will come easier by and by. Not so many nights ago you had a very vivid dream of those you love." Before she could reply, another voice, that of the husband of a lady present, broke in and continued the conversation. His wife replied that she hoped she might meet him in her sleep, and he answered, "You do not need to hope, my dear, we shall meet. You often meet us in your sleep. I am sure you all know that. You often bring back memories, but they get so jumbled up when you are awakening that you cannot piece them together. Now we are coming to the end of this long chapter, long because they had always so much to say about their contact with us. They can see and hear us in our everyday life, but we cannot see or hear them except under unusual conditions, and in that way they have an advantage over us. They claim to be able to look after us, but we cannot look after them, and they talk about their contact with us in ways which it is sometimes difficult for us to understand or appreciate. There is more in earth and heaven than most philosophies embrace, and with that let me give you the words of one who once spoke to us in the following poetic strain, the spirit of the evening breeze, the spirit whose ears are strained to catch the supplications of those whom they love to answer, to catch the deep call from your heart and succor you, are ever ready to answer that call. There is nothing hid, so you need not fear to tell them all, and, if it is possible, they will help you. We have trod the path before you, we know its roughness, we know the uphill pull, we know how the plain so clear and smiling can suddenly be transmuted into a mountain difficult to climb, but be not dismayed, helping hands, beckoning fingers, are near to guide you and help you onwards and onwards. This chapter can best be terminated by the words of one who often spoke to us, and this is what he once said as he brought a seance to a close, "My dear friends, I wish I had the power and that I could direct you all into the path of rest, the path of joy, and the path of happiness, but unfortunately, during the earth life you are in, you cannot always take these paths. I have tried to show you the pathway which leads from the cares and troubles of the world life, to rest and peace, to home and friends at last, never more to part again. God bless you." Finally, these were the words a husband once addressed to his wife, "I did not get saying goodbye to you, but I will say welcome home someday." She felt the touch of his vanished hand over her face, and the satisfaction she received can also be visualized by those who have their nearest and dearest awaiting them on the other side, as what applied to her applies to all. Chapter 12 Their Religion. My many friends on the other side seldom spoke about their religious opinions. To them what we call religion is something very different from what it is to most people on earth. Here on earth we associate religion with saviors, creeds, ceremonials, rituals, churches, mosques, temples, priests and sacred books, but there it is far different. As we progress in etheria we shall forget the theology we were taught on earth, because we shall find everything is so unlike what most people here are brought up to believe. What we have been taught is holy and sacred is natural and ordinary. There is nothing sacred or holy in the conversations here reported. We were not speaking to angels, saints, or devils, but to men, women and children who had lived on earth, and are in character much the same now as they were then. The fact that they come to us in a finer body does not change them from being natural into supernatural beings. Now they know that the religious teaching they received on earth was false and the result of theological and mystical imagination. What were ordinary psychic manifestations have been evolved and elaborated into holy and sacred events which all must believe to be saved.